hey, how amazing is this? How amazing is this? How amazing are you? Oh my goodness. You know, about a week before I flew out from Orange County, and I just have to say that it's been, hang on, let me get this right. Is it 2.5 years since our transition? Yeah, where Phil and I, Pastor Phil and I, handed, stay there for a bit. keeps the oil moving, you know. So we transitioned out of being senior ministers out of Sydney, C3 SYD, after 42 years. Isn't that awesome? And I have to say, it was one of the most amazing days. It was the 14th of November. It was 1 week after the government had opened up public meetings to be 1,000 people in the room. And so I was like a little high on joy. And we were able to transition and hand over our wonderful church. Now, a lot of people have said to myself, probably to Phil as well, oh, how does it feel letting go? All that amazing work of 42 years. And I just have to say, well, you know, it wasn't just an overnight fling with like drawing straws. It had been a 5-year journey of spending time in the prayer and in the Holy Spirit to lay hands on Pastor Alex and Jessen Lee. So can you stand up, Alex? And I know Jessen is over here somewhere with the babies. So that they are why we are able to be free and move into all that the Lord has for us in the future. So isn't that amazing? So Alex, Pastor Alex and Jessen, we love you. We're just visiting now. When we come home, we just visit. And so many of us are in a new season, in transition and changing roles and everything. But the mighty Holy Spirit is guiding each and every one of us into new pastures and into new endeavors and new adventures. And we're on one right now, Pastor Phil and I. After this conference, I might as well just say it. I am going home. And okay, so several weeks ago, we did a fast together in preparation for here and for our future and for the Lord to speak to us. And on about day 15, separately, the Lord spoke to us and said the same thing. And it's weird. It's a pretty weird scripture, but don't take it wrong. He said to me, sell all that you have and follow me. That's pretty heavy, isn't it? But I knew exactly what it meant. Sell your house in Sydney and move to Orange County. I know. And so I'm going home. We're putting our house on the market. It's going to go. And we'd appreciate your prayers for a wonderful buyer that sees what we saw when we bought that house 15 years ago, an incredible view out there of the horizon. And then we will be able to buy a house in California for whatever purpose the Lord has for us long term. But right now, when we're there, we're helping our son Joe and his wife Christine and the team from Orange County build that church. Where are you guys? Are you sitting together? Are you? Stand up. Please stand up. There they are. The team, C3OC, and I'm so excited. At 71, now, at 71, I'm packing up and moving out. You are never too old to do something new in Jesus Christ. The power of the Holy Spirit is guiding you, and I feel so excited, so I've got my California outfit on today. It's very similar to what I wore in the 60s, but please, one day I will grow up. But I've got this beautiful, colorful coat on because it represents all of you here. You are the dream that we had in our hearts to see multiple churches planted across the globe, different from us. And I think Steve Burgess said it so eloquently in his The Church I See yesterday, where he said, the church that I see in the future is not me, it's in you. And in the very early years of us planting in Sydney, it was really early, we're at a minister's gathering, and a very dear friend, the late Peter Morrow, came. He was our visiting speaker, and he had this prophecy over Phil and I, and he said this, I see people out from you, but they don't look like you. So I didn't even know what that meant. I sort of knew what it meant, that, you know, I didn't know. I lie. I did not know what he meant. But here at our gathering, I see it. And so Peter, if you can hear this up there in glory, that prophecy has come to pass, because we are living in the dream that God saw before we even did, and you are it. So turn to your neighbor and say, you are the fulfillment of the dream of C3 Church Global. So hallelujah. You can walk away confidently into a future when you know that you have laid the foundation of a strong legacy behind you. And so I want to encourage all of you. Many of you are so young and at the very beginning, as Joe and Christine and the team, my dear friends, are in Orange County. But I know what that feels like, and it's awesome. So if you're at the very beginnings of a church plant, and then I want to say, well, don't give up. Keep walking, keep praying, keep praising, keep eating together, keep laughing together, keep crying together, keep raising your kids together, keep going on holidays together, keep setting up the chairs together and packing down all the stuff together until one day you get a building of your own where, you know, you can still set up and pack down and whatnot together. It never ends. It's called the work of the ministry. It's not a holiday, it's the work of the ministry. And God is raising, yes, He is raising up strong men and women who will put their hand to the plow and not look back. And I am looking at you right now. I am looking at you right now, my beautiful family. So this message is called, I believe it's up behind me, an outpouring of gratitude. And I am so thankful for you. I am so thankful for you when we rise in the morning and Phil's remembers everybody's names in his head, but I've got the chart. I've got the chart with all our leaders' photos with me in my knapsack. And I love you with all my heart. And my heart overflows with gratitude to God for you, our beloved C3 family. The thought of us being together after so long, which I think, am I right, 12 years? Has just been like a dream come true. And I want to say thank you to you, because this conference is unique in the sense that it is the gathering of our pastors and leaders, their teams, their kids from C3 churches. 99.9% of you here today. And I want to congratulate those of you who spent days and days and days traveling to get here, because you're hungry for more of the Holy Spirit. And that's why this conference was called Outpouring, because, oh, we're all needing an outpouring. I need an outpouring. We all need an outpouring so that we smell like Jesus, so that we smell like the Holy Spirit, who's got a very good scent, yes? And so the underheading of this message is my tribe, my people, and I don't want to name names, but oh golly, it's so dangerous to do that, because we are giving thanks to many of our leaders coming up. But I want to just, and I'll tell you why I'm just naming a few. Please don't be upset. Look, she forgot me. What about me? But my friends, and you saw the panel yesterday, but I want to include our dearest friends and colleagues, Mark and Bernie, Lorne and Kelly, Jake and Kerry, Richard and Sue, Tamati. What? Yes. See, really close. Joshua and Sunita, Sudia and Rachel, Stephen Dawn, Simon and Val, and others that are not so more visible, but Greg and Julie, Pat and Amanda, Tony and Sue, dear friends who are on their sabbatical right now on a motorbike somewhere, Paris. Our deepest love. Paul describes this very emotion in his letters to the church, and I fully understand his passion. He was personally connected in relationship with his tribe, his people. His writings reveal his love for his trusted, proven brothers and sisters in Christ, not members or colleagues online, God bless them, we all have them, but brothers and sisters he knew and loved personally, known in his real world as you are to me, as we are one to another. In the middle of Romans 16, Paul pauses after mentioning 22 or 25 co-workers by name in Romans 16:16. And he says this, he paused and he remembered, his heart welled up with love for those that he was discipling by letter. Most often in prison, he longed to see them face to face, but he could not, so he wrote these letters. Greet one another with a holy kiss. So greet or pay my respects to, he was saying. Receive joyfully, enfold in the arms these loved ones. So before I go any further, I want you to just turn to someone and just give them a big hug and enfold them in your arms. I don't know whether we did that, but if we did that yet, but is that telling me I've got 5 minutes left? That's ridiculous. So greet one another with a holy kiss is not, but it's to share warm affection. To show respect between friends, a people sharing a deep common bond. How incredible is that? And Jesus, in his visible prayer in front of his disciples before he returned to the Father, prayed this prayer, and it's going to come up here. It's in John 17:9, and I feel like I want to just speak into this a wee bit this afternoon. Is that, have I only got 4 minutes left? No? God, please. Stop it. Where he said, Father, these are the ones that you have given me. I pray not for the world, but for those that you have given me. Now, the Father sent his Son, for God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. But Jesus set the model for us. I pray for those that you have given me, and I want you to do the same. I mean, yeah, have a burden for world revival. Yeah, we want that. But just have a look at who God has given you. I look around that little team from C3OC, and I'm like, well, they are the seed of that church in Orange County. And I know that many of you are here with your teams right now. And Paul named them. Named them. There was an outpouring of gratitude from his heart here where he did do Bible studies and he was the most amazing apostle and teacher. But before he said anything, he named those, the workers, the people that he knew personally. In fact, here he does say, I'm going to name them Phoebe, Priscilla, Aquila, Epentus, Miriam, Adronicus, Junus, Apollariadus, Urbanus, Statius, Apelles, Aristotelus, Ahemerasus, Narcasasasas. Oh, you say all these words, you'll be speaking in tongues. I think that was his idea. It goes on and on and on. Olympus, Timothy, my ministry partner, Luke, Jason, Sotapata, Tertius, Gaius, obviously I haven't learned this language, Erastus, Quartus, Shandabarastus. I know you're here today. So, and then in Romans 16, he says this, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a deacon of the church in Centrara. I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of his people and give her any help she may need from you, for she has been the benefactor of many people, including myself. How amazing. He had a ministry to love people, to raise up those who are around him. To every mention to his workers, he says, my dear friends, or my hard workers, or fellow prisoners, or one who has been like a mother to me, all with heart affection, I love this. Now look, don't get me wrong. I love the body of Christ. I have many friends in other denominations and pastors and leaders, some of you are here today, who I love and respect with all my heart. But I don't live there. I visit with them respectfully. But I go home to pay my tithes, clean my fridge, and devote my time to the people who God has given me. Psalm 22:22 says this, I will tell of your name to my brother, my countrymen. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. And this word, my brother, used in the most liberal sense and relationship, means somebody in affinity with me, a kindred of the same tribe. In the NIV, it says, my kinsman. I love that. I love that. In Philippians 1, 7 and 8, it says, it is right for me to feel this way about you, since I have you in my heart. And whether I am in chains or defending or confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. Recently, while we're in the middle of the fast and God was speaking about sell up and move, do what I tell you, when I'm fasting, I do two things. Oh, well, I pray, obviously, but you can't pray 24/7, can you? Unless you're so spiritual, hallelujah. So I download cooking recipes. Anyone else do that? I watch Jamie Oliver. I watch anything Asian. I stick them in my phone, all the recipes, da-di-da. And then I like to watch documentaries about animals. So I'm watching this documentary. And as I was watching it, I felt the Lord begin to speak to me. I think I've got a picture of this tribe of lions. I just kept watching it and watching it and doing the next episode and the next as these lions were growing older and they were having babies and what happened in the pride. And I realized that a pride of lions is so very much like us in the body of Christ. Do you know a lion's mate for life? Unless something terrible happens and another wicked lion, like in The Lion King. Remember there was that black, dark, evil that says, I'm going to kill. I know, isn't that beautiful? I can't see the lion. He's off. Okay, so here's the thing. Lionesses are the hunters. They are the breeders. They are the hunters. And they go out and do the kill, and they go to the supermarket, and they get the fruit and veggies and everything. And guess what the men lions do? They walk around the territory and, you know, and just piss everywhere. They do. Then they come home and tell the female lions, turn around. You know what happens next. And you have a pride of lions. So I'm watching this amazing thing. But what got my attention, as I have yours now, was the immense affection and protection they surrounded their whole family with. Every lion, young and old, male and female, had a specific role to play, from the alpha male and the females those who hunted and those who looked out for the baby cubs. So in this thing, this amazing lioness has four cubs. Three of them are boisterous and bold and a bit cheeky, and then there's this fourth one. And initially I thought, oh dear, he's just the runt. But in the program, they called him the misfit. And this little thing was shy. He was kicked around because it's a big pride. So there's cousins, there's stepbrothers there. And these mean stepbrothers had it in for this little cub. And while the females weren't watching, there was a bit of stuff going on and it was filmed. And they were kicking him around and, you know, thinking he's not going to make it. And let's just get rid of this little runt, this little misfit. And eventually at night, they tried to get him while the mother was out hunting. And in the morning, he comes running home. I could tell his hip was dislocated. He was all covered in dirt. And for a season, because the mother was occupied with these other three thriving cubs, she watched to see what would happen with this little cub. And over time, she watched and she nudged him towards health, to grow up himself, showed him how to get to the water to drink, and then eventually she began to feed him again and protect these little cubs from these, what I call, sort of mean brothers. And I just want to say this. We are a tribe. We are a tribe of lions, if you want, humans. And it's up to us to look out for each other. When you see someone that's a bit of a misfit on your team, that's not quite pulling their weight or keeping up with the vision that you have, love them. Love them. And you know, this little lion got my heart. And then it jumps to a year later where he's made it. And into the pride is this other little cub born, and they call him the dreamer. So he's like dreaming, he's getting away from the pride, he's in the bushes sniffing and doing a pee-pee and going down to the river and playing. And this older lion who'd been in that place looked after him. And when the mother was wounded and unable to suckle him because she had in a hunt, she got wounded and had a puncture in her neck. And lions, they actually recover very fast, I discovered, that she couldn't feed this little cub. And so the misfit would put him over on the side of the pride and lick him and clean him and love him. And in a way, it's our job to look after each other in our pride. When you see someone that's not quite up to speed, don't just discard them. Look after them and pour new oil. And I'm not saying lick someone, but pretty much I'm asking, the analogy was pretty clear, that that the pride grows in strength together. And one night, there was another little lion. The lions followed in the night when the mothers were out doing the kill, and they would take them with them. And this one little lion got disorientated, just a little cub, and he got lost, and he was taken by a predator. And there is safety in the pride. Can I just say, you listened to us yesterday about how we've survived 42 years, and with Simon over 50 years, because we were his and Helen's youth pastors in New Zealand when he was a long-haired drummer in a rock band. And and we just loved them and discipled them into growth, etc. So let us stay in the pride. Let us stay in the tribe of See-Through. If when we do, we too will survive. You've seen an example of us old lions and lionesses, where we've had fun eating together and sharing our generational wisdom with you yesterday to pass on and for you to receive. Many years ago, we were like a fledgling tribe, you know, not the biggest, not the shiniest. We had a few limps. We've all got a few limps. And somebody was thinking of joining up with our church, with C3. And the comment was made to this person, why would you want to be part of a footnote when you can be in the headline? I just want to say this. A footnote can grow into being the runt of the litter, from being the runt of the litter into a mighty tribe of lions from the tribe of Judah. So I want to say to us, as the old lioness of the tribe with a few limps and scrapes and bruises, we may not be the biggest or the loudest. We may not be the shiniest thing going, but we are us. Long live the footnotes. Long live the runts and the misfits. We are not in competition with one another. We bind together, support and protect one another. We are the tribe of C3. Let me hear you roar. Stay standing. Stay standing. This is my benediction and my commitment to you, found in Ruth 1:16. Please stay standing because Pastor John's coming. Please don't ask me to leave you. I want to go with you and stay with you. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you live, I will live. Your people are my people. Your God will be my God. Wherever you die, I'll be there. That's where your people will bury me, next to you. Turn to someone and say, next to you. I want to be next to you. I'm not saying buried, but I'm saying for life, for life. Nothing but death itself will separate me from you, so help me God. I, Chris Pringle, am called and devoted to this, our tribe, to you, my fellow men and women, my pride of lions. Amen.
Hey, thanks so much for joining us. If you're a pastor or a leader, we'd love to connect with you. Throughout the year, around the world, at our regional gatherings are a great opportunity for pastors to come and discover who we are as a movement. Or if you simply want to come and be refreshed and blessed, you're more than welcome. If you're interested, reach out at hello@c3churchglobal.com. That's hello@c3churchglobal.com.
See you again soon.